Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I feel this way every year coming out of the holidays, going right back into what is a football weekend. So we got home on Saturday evening, Sunday morning, wanted to be back at church with my kiddos after a couple of weeks away. And then Sunday, all day watching football. We've got so many important games coming up this weekend, but it's at least a chance to exhale and not be traveling and not be on the road after 2 weeks away. And I know the holidays, they're supposed to be relaxing. I think that in many cases, the ideal is that you can get out of your routine. You can have a little more time to breathe and spend with family and friends. And for us, we were able to do that. We did spend time with both family and friends while we were in Texas, but with the 3,500 miles round trip, plus the time we spent driving around while we were down there and just the different people we wanted to see, I wouldn't say it was super relaxing. A couple of the days were relaxing. Christmas Day was really nice. The day after, actually, my husband went back to work and so did I. But we had New Year's Eve that was great. Taught my mom and her husband how to play the game of Catan, which was fun. We also played some cards, had a couple really good meals. But mixing in work that second week and then driving back. So it wasn't as relaxing as what it would have been if we had not traveled. But thankful for that time. We each got 5 to 6 days with our moms, which is really important. So now that we're back and we're right back into opposite schedules, at least in our house, and for me doing the overnights and hopping into what is one of the busiest times of the year in football. Whew, looking forward to the weekend. I don't care how many games I have to watch as long as I can do it in my sweatpants, especially with some snow coming Friday or Saturday. I'm praying for several inches, if not more than that, because I love snow, especially when I don't have to drive in it, though. Princess Leia's four-wheel drive doesn't scare me. One of my favorite stories to tell people about when I was a teenager is that my mom made me learn how to drive in snow in New Hampshire before she would allow me to get my driver's license. At A-Law Radio. But if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can send them to our show Twix at Amy After Hours. I'm actually going to retweet the post right now so that as you send your questions, producer Pete can see them at the top of his feed and you will see the bright orange box at the top of your feed. We've also got our Facebook page After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're kind of dropping in some of the different news about the coaching carousel and we're mixing it in because it really could take an entire show. The one job that was vacated, one firing that happened on Tuesday, maybe not a huge surprise, probably more about logistics. Antonio Pierce let go after a season and a half, but really a full season as the head coach without the interim tag. He's let go by the Raiders, and a lot of people pointing to Tom Brady being a major influence in this upcoming coaching search. And here's the thing about Tom Brady. As a broadcaster, I think he's doing a much better job than what many would be doing in their first year. He stepped into one of the most high profile analyst roles in all of sports TV, and he has gotten better every week. He and Kevin Burkhardt have a terrific rapport. I think they've worked hard on that. It helps when you're spending multiple days together per week on the road, especially if you don't know, these crews go in a couple of days ahead of time. They then spend time working on production elements and various points that they want to highlight during the broadcast. They also have opportunities to speak with coaches and players. And I know Tom Brady's rules are a little bit different, but I think he's done a great job. I actually think he is now a quality broadcaster, and the more he works at it, the better he will get. It's funny, too, because people are jumping on the Gerard Mayo firing and acting like they knew it all along, that he sucks, he doesn't have what it takes. Some guy wrote on our Facebook page, he doesn't have it, whatever it is. It's just an easy way to say you agree with the firing, right? And kind of put it in this big cauldron. He doesn't have the it factor, whatever that means. How do you know after 1 year? You don't know. I believe Gerard Mayo will end up coaching again. And whether it's head coach, that wouldn't be right away, whether that's the ultimate goal, I have no doubt that he'll get another opportunity. He's smart. He's a great leader. He's obviously championship caliber player. And so he knows a lot, having come from Bill Belichick's system. But it's impossible to know whether he's head coaching material after 1 year of him being thrown into the fire before he was ready with a roster that stinks. Come on, there's no way to know if he's a quality head coach or can be a head coach after 1 year. That's ridiculous. It's not 1 year and you're done, or it shouldn't be. I think back to my first year as a broadcaster. Are you really going to tell me that your first year in doing anything professionally was the best that you can get? You don't ever learn. There's no wisdom and experience to be gleaned. And these are high-pressure situations. My first year as a broadcaster, I sounded nothing like I do now. Absolutely nothing. It takes progress. It takes process. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes hard work and at work and dedication and commitment, all of which Gerard Mayo is willing to do, I have no doubt. But after 1 year, and again, not having a roster that's built to compete, it's impossible to judge whether he could be a great coach down the road. Same thing with Tom Brady, right? After 1 week, people were ready to bury him. He's the worst broadcaster ever. He shouldn't have gotten that job. Go back to Greg Olson. No, Tom Brady is really smart and he knows football and he's willing to work hard. Those are the three tools you need to become a better broadcaster, and he has done that. All of that to say, the more involved he is with the Raiders, the less I think broadcasting is the job for him. Not only is he hamstrung a little bit because he's got limitations on what he can do as a broadcaster in terms of his interviews with opponents and all that kind of stuff. In other words, the NFL doesn't want it to look like, nor do they want him to actually do this. Spygate. They don't want him to have inside intel that he gets from interviews with coaches and players and then take that back to the Raiders and use it to help the Raiders become a better team. Again, whether or not he would do that, I hope not, but I can't speak for Tom Brady. What I do know is that the NFL does not want this appearance that he's got a conflict of interest. And so they've limited him in what he can do as a broadcaster. But with the reports, rumors, speculation, I mean, you can take every report these days with a grain of salt, but with the reports out there that he is going to be more involved, that Mark Davis wants him to be involved in this coaching search in a big way, I'm less and less comfortable with him also being a broadcaster. Now, if he never was behind the scenes, if he was never involved in any of these pregame conversations, if he wasn't privy to insider trading, if you will, because of his role as a broadcaster, then I'd be okay with it. I mean, you've got guys who are former GMs. You've got guys who used to work in front offices. You've got guys who leave broadcasting and then end up in a team setting again. But to do both at the same time, yeah, I can understand why the NFL is limiting his access. But still, working with producers, seeing game notes, discussing production elements with his team, this stuff is going to come up. For instance, Kevin Burkhardt can say to the producer or to the engineers and the directors, this is what I heard from a coach. This is what they're planning to do. This is their focus. This is how they think they can win. Let's build a package around that. Let's build a graphic around that. I know I'm using some broadcast terminology, but he's going to hear it just by proxy, even if he's not in those meetings. So if he's going to be more and more involved with the Raiders, making decisions about coaches and personnel, maybe even rosters, if it's a coach that he helps to handpick, now we're getting to the point where I'm not sure he should be involved in broadcasting because of all the access and, again, the insider intel that he gets because he's around these production crews and they're given access to intel that teams don't normally have. They're allowed to watch practices. That's another way that they can see what happens. When I was traveling with the University of Hartford, or when I was traveling with Fox or the Big East network or any of these networks that I've worked with in the past, you're allowed to go sit and watch practices in many cases. But the unspoken, unwritten rule is that you don't take, and this would be for verbatim or how do you say it? How do I want to say it? Information that I get from coaches or that I see in practice, I can use that to help me make more informed comments on the broadcast, but I'm expected not to repeat conversations with coaches verbatim or to share information about how they're approaching a game or this is their go-to play in this moment, unless I see it, right? If I see it during the game, well, then I can say it. But there are some things that you just can't repeat. Coaches expect that broadcasters are going to be careful and are going to be discretionary about what they share. But I will say, working with Jennifer Rosati, and she's been on the show a few times, she was a longtime coach at the University of Hartford. It took a year before she would trust me with anything. She wouldn't allow me in team meetings. I was limited in practice. Now, she did allow me to watch, but I wasn't allowed to talk to players or really get close to their team huddles in practice. It took a year before she would trust me enough to include me in team dinners, part of the family, that kind of a thing. Because she needed to know that I could be trusted to not share information that she wouldn't want the larger public, or more specifically her opponents, to know. So the fact that Tom Brady is behind the scenes and is working with the Raiders to make them a better team, I'm not sure how much longer he can also have integrity as a broadcaster, or at least maintain that appearance of objectivity, if that makes sense, Producer Pete.
He'll do the Super Bowl and that'll be it.
So you think he's one and done?
Yes. Yes.
What's a good year to jump on with Fox then? Because they do have the Super Bowl.
Yep. Yep. He'll do this. He'll do this year's Super Bowl and that'll be it.
Why do you think that?
No, because I think he wants to still be involved in the game. And you can tell that. He's a competitor. And if you're going to be an owner or a minority owner of a team and you're so prominent like Tom Brady, a lot of times these players or that invested in a team get involved. Look at John Elway. Look at guys like that. They get involved in the mud. They dig. They work with the organization. And he's gonna have to do that because there needs to be some type of culture change with the Raiders, and he should be leading that charge. If I'm a Raider fan, I want it.
Well, and as much as Tom Brady has made a ton of money in his career, he's not a billionaire, probably. But he's also not a multi-billionaire, and that's what you need to be able to buy a team in the NFL or any other sports league, which means that this is his best way in. Because of his reputation, he's a minority owner, but Mark Davis, and we learned this from Amy Trask, who was the CEO with the Raiders for decades, Mark Davis wants him to be involved so he can have a major impact on the Raiders without actually buying the team and owning it outright. So this is his best way in. At some point, maybe he becomes a majority owner of a franchise. So if he filled out, or finished, I should say, his 10-year contract with Fox, he probably could get a little closer to that. 10 years, $375 million. So he's made a nice chunk of change in just doing one season. But here are the restrictions when it comes to his broadcasting gig. He can't criticize teams or referees, which I don't think that really limits you. That's not his role anyway. He can't enter team facilities. He can't attend practices. And I'm telling you, most of the information that I used as an analyst or a play-by-play announcer on my broadcast came from watching practices. You get to know players and coaches by watching practice, not by watching games, because behind the scenes is what you really learn, where you really learn about them. He can't join pregame production meetings with teams or players in person or virtually. And again, that to me is less of a restriction, though I think it would be helpful. But he can get that information indirectly by other people who are at these meetings, or he can actually watch tapes of it too. I don't know if Fox would be willing to circumvent the rules, but I'll bet you there are people, maybe even people that he's working with behind the scenes. Now, if the NFL found out, that would be the end of it. But there's other ways for him to get this information indirectly. And then he also can't gamble, of course. He's subject to the league's gambling and tampering policies. Honestly, I don't think any of this is really a huge deal for Brady, because he's being paid to give his perspective with the mind of and the wisdom and the experience of the greatest quarterback of all time. It doesn't matter whether or not he knows the athletes. He can still see and react and still be Tom Brady. But I just don't know that the rest of the NFL, the owners, are going to want Tom Brady on these broadcasts when he is an active minority owner of another team, one of their competitors.
Where is the value for Fox right now?
Oh, he's Tom Brady.
Yeah, right. But who's not watching the game? If Tom Brady was not on that broadcast, and it was Greg Olsen, and he was able to talk to teams and do the background, you and I are still watching the game.
Well, you and I work in the business, though.
No, but the average person is watching the game.
I would disagree. I would say that casual fans, I mean, Tony Romo was a major draw when he started with CBS and Jim Nantz. And obviously the shine has worn off a little bit. But I have no doubt Tom Brady transcends football. Not to mention he was married to one of the top supermodels in the world. Like, so this is kind of the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift effect. You've got people paying attention to Tom Brady. I know he's divorced now, but at the time, because he was married to Gisele Bündchen, who maybe never would have paid attention to football. So I think Brady's a draw for casual fans, and also Fox keeps him away from anybody else. I think that there is some draw there. I very much interested in what Tom Brady has to say. It's kind of like Bill Belichick on the Monday Night Mannings. I learned so much by watching the two of them and listening to what they say about football.
Well, I'm interested in what he has to say. But if there's restrictions on the information he's going to be able to obtain, it puts a strain on what he provides.
Right, I would say in a way, right? Because I think, again, if you're Tom Brady and all you do is react as if you're the quarterback seeing what is on the field through the eyes of a man who played it at the highest level, I still think that's better than anything else that he can get out of a production meeting. If you're just Tom Brady, you show up and you talk about football, I still think that's plenty. I'm thinking more that the other owners are going to put up a stink at some point, believing that he has an upper hand. He can take some of this intel back to the Raiders and it becomes unfair. And at that point, Roger Goodell might have to step in and say, okay. But, you know, the owners set the rules. They have to go through the rules committee. It has to be approved. But maybe they get to the point where they say, no, a Tom Brady, a minority owner, cannot be involved in broadcasting.
You might get it now because of him saying that he's going to be involved in this process with the Raiders.
Yeah, true.
I think you're going to get it. I think you might get it before the end of the week.
So Max Crosby, as I pivot really quickly, Max Crosby is part of Tom Brady's former show on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Let's Go. And just before Antonio Pierce got fired, this was actually, the timing was pretty specific, right before he got fired, this clip was released. Now, I think they do the show on Mondays, but Max Crosby's clip made it to social media, and he was trying to take the, you know, hands up, I'm out, this is not my department when it comes to Pierce and his job status.
Last year, I was very vocal about, you know, wanting AP here. That's very well known, you know what I mean? And I don't take that back. There's certain things I've done in my career that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said this, or maybe I should have said more, you know what I mean, in certain times. But where I'm currently at, that's not my job. I'm going to be real. That's not my job. I know my influence. I know what winning looks like. But at the end of the day, I strictly am focused on what I do best, and being at my best is going to help my teammates, my coaches, being a leader, taking care of the things I can control. So at the end of the day, I have a great relationship with Mark. Me and Mark have been close for years. I love the guy to death, and you know, we have great conversation all the time, but at the end of the day, he's going to do what he thinks is best, and it's his team.
He refers to Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, and I believe we are scheduled to have Hondo Carpenter coming up with us on tomorrow. Wednesday night. And so Hondo Carpenter on the show from Las Vegas. I saw a photo that he shared with his wife earlier on Tuesday. They were at the Sports Person of the Year award ceremony, which is pretty cool. So Hondo will join us. Max Crosby, we talked about him the last time Hondo was with us from Sports Illustrated. He's certain that Max wants to remain a Raider. He's committed to the Raiders, so that's not a question. And if they can get the right coach in there, they do have good pieces other than quarterback, right? So that's a major issue for the Raiders. It's been a revolving door of quarterbacks going back now since Derek Carr was essentially benched by Josh McDaniels. It's like a plug and play type of thing, and nothing has stuck. Nothing has worked. What, they use 4 different quarterbacks this season? So it's been a mess for them. I'm quite certain that if Antonio Pierce and the Raiders had been able to draft a quarterback last year, maybe he wouldn't have lost his job, or they would have had a few more wins. But it was just abysmal. And maybe Antonio Pierce is similar to Jerod Mayo in that he is in over his head. He's can inspire guys, but not quite ready to be an NFL head coach. At Amy After Hours, vote for TD of the Week. A couple of minutes left. Actually, I'm not sure exactly how many minutes. Let me check and see. Oh, 20 minutes left. I was close. We'll get to your phone calls, 855-212-4227, and then send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, because it's the Hump Show here on After Hours. News every single day in the NFL, but the closer we get to the weekend, the less the news matters and the more it becomes about the games. College football playoff, the semifinals on both Thursday and Friday, and then wild card weekend supersized, because I remember supersized fries from McDonald's. Those were my favorite back when I could eat as many fries as I wanted. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And if you're wondering about Ravens and Steelers, well, the most recent, actually, it's not the most recent game they played. They played in week 16, right? Their week 11 game, the one that was fire, that one is re-airing on NFL Network right now. And we'll hear a little bit from Steelers and Ravens, as well as the Texans, who always play on Saturday of wildcard weekend. And so we've got a little bit of preview as we get closer to actual games. 855-212-4227. Kevin is in Detroit. Kevin, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thank you for taking my call, Amy. I was a truck driver a long time ago, and you got me through so many late nights by listening to your show. Oh my God. To the fact, like, I remember when you showed so much affinity and love for Brett Favre, I was like, oh God, what a Packers fan right there. So it is an honor to talk to you, but I'm going to, listening to you tonight, and when you talk about Tom Brady, it's like, when does it stop? When does realization come that Tom Brady cannot be an analyst on the football, the game itself? Because being part owner, he cannot critique refs. He cannot critique anything in there. So it's like, okay, so he's got insight. He's got, you know, he's the GOAT. He's played. He's been in there. But when does he become owner versus what we can listen to on television?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he doesn't have that liberty, what we're all thinking. We're at the sports bar. We're like, oh, my God, what a horrible call. How does that? They go back to replay. They show all this and that. And what does Brady have to do? You know, he has to bite his lip. I think it was like, okay, so he did a lot of this already knowing he was, correct me if I'm wrong. He was already appointed that position before he was off the field. Like he's still like, Fox knew that they were going to bring him on there with his contract. Greg Olsen had to take a back seat. Greg Olsen's one of the best, by the way, in my opinion. And it's like, okay, Tom Brady comes in there. He's just going to go and tell us how, you know, it's good. Again, Fox, that was their thing. They didn't want CBS. They didn't want Peacock, you know, NBC. And they don't want anybody to take him away. But how can you get honest, like, how do you get honest, like, breakdown of the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, if what you need from an analyst is ripping referees, then I'm not sure there is an analyst out there that will make you happy. I don't think that's necessary. In fact, I think that's kind of Bush League. If you're an NFL quarterback and the best analysis you've got is the referees suck, that gets old really quickly. As an NFL superstar, he knows that the referees, it's the players that control the game, not the referees. And so I don't need that. I don't think that's a limitation at all, but I understand that you maybe want him to sound more like a guy who's sitting next to you on a bar stool. I just think in the case of Tom Brady, he's an extraordinary example of someone who really doesn't need to do anything except for tell us exactly what he sees. Now, does it help if he's got some preparation by attending some of these pregame meetings, production meetings, where they have access to plays, formations, ideas, that kind of stuff? Sure. But can he still see it even if he doesn't know about it ahead of time? Can he still talk about it if he doesn't know about it ahead of time? So I disagree with you on that point. I think he can still be a great analyst even if he doesn't have any pre-production or pre-game behind-the-scenes information. But what my point that I was making is that I think the other owners in the NFL are not going to stand for it. They're going to say, this is unfair. He's got access to the kind of information that can give the Raiders a leg up that the Raiders can use. How do we know he's not taking what he's learning behind the scenes? And it's almost like having a camera at practice, right? Even though he can't go to practice, he's still working with people who do. So I think at some point the owners are going to make a stink about it, and Roger Goodell, who works for the owners, is not going to have any choice but to, you know, to kind of change the rules and outlaw that. But I still say that Tom Brady just talking about the game of football is worth listening to. I learn something whenever I do listen to him.
Yeah, and I mean, he does have the perspective. Mm-hmm. And like how Tony Romo came in, when he first came in there, it was like, oh God, he's calling out the plays. Like he could see like how the defense is. So like how a quarterback can look across and observe that. I guess what I mean more about that, because don't get me wrong, Brady, even though things were done the way when he was in Michigan, I'm a huge Michigan fan. When he was there, he was done wrong. The Drew Henson thing, long time ago. I don't know if anybody even remembers that, but when sure Brady was there, I do appreciate him and him being the goal. But with it coming out there, like, okay, so if there was an egregious call on the field, like, he can't comment on that.
Well, he can't rip referees. He can say they missed it. He can say that here's what I see. He just can't be an ass about it. He can't fire off and start ripping the referees and saying they're wrong, they screwed up, blah, blah, blah. You just have to be more diplomatic about it. So, again, right. I don't think I care about that part at all. It doesn't bother me if the analyst doesn't agree with the call or does agree with the call. I'm more looking for the information. But, yeah, if that's what you need, you want some guy who's like your BFF who's screaming about the officials, then, yeah, he's not your guy.
Oh, no, you're 100%. I totally agree with that. It was like the thing is, like, I don't even know if there's any color analyst that would be, like, on that. But mm-hmm. just know that the fact is, like, he can't be – he wasn't the owner. You know, where do we listen? Like, where do we get that information from? We need somebody that knows the game 100%. So. Mm-hmm. I before I cut off there, I appreciate you, Amy. You've been amazing for many years. And keep up the good radio. Great work.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to talk to you in Detroit. Happy New Year to you. 855-212-4227. Whether or not you think Tom is a great analyst, I think he's gotten better over the course of the year. But this is really more about the rest of the NFL getting its unders in a bunch, if you will, getting all fired up about the fact that here is a guy who is advising a primary owner who is very much involved in the choices that the team is making. Why should he have any type of access to inside information because of his role as a broadcaster? And while the NFL has tried to limit that in order to squash any idea that he has information that would help the Raiders, again, like insider trading, which is illegal. In order to do that, they've limited his access. And I still say that he is a good broadcaster and he doesn't need all that. He doesn't need a pre-production meeting and a conversation with, say, a Jared Goff for him to know what's happening out there on the field. And that's what I watch for and what I listen for is Tom Brady's reaction and what he's seeing when these guys line up on the line of scrimmage. But maybe that's not what Fox wants from him, or maybe Fox believes that he's not able to do a complete job without being part of all of the different meetings and practices and that jazz. Or maybe it does come down to the owners saying, no way, why should Mark Davis have a guy who's armed with all this extra information, who has access to all this extra information, or who is seeing these teams, you know, week in and week out. The weird thing is, though, that all of the owners/teams have access to tape. They can all watch games. They all do watch games. So if all they're seeing is the same thing as Tom Brady, then they may not have much of a case. But I do think at some point the owners are gonna want Roger Goodell to step in and say, hey, you can't do both. You have to pick one or the other. And he's obviously not going to pick broadcasting over being a minority owner. So we'll see how much he's involved. But I think he's gotten better. Marco, what do you think? I know sometimes you're not watching the games. But
no, I'm watching the games, but unfortunately, they're on mute a lot of times because depending on what I'm doing with work. So I haven't heard enough of Brady over the year to even be able to make a comment. I mean, I'll literally hear him for a minute here and there, and it's so out of context. So I really have no leg to stand on with any of that stuff. But I'll be fair. I was surprised that they even allowed it to go through with the ownership part and allow him to keep the job, because it really is a conflict of interest. I'm surprised it's gotten this far, mm-hmm. and at some point it will come to a head, because you can't have a guy calling the games and being the one that's in charge of finding who your head coach is. It doesn't work. I understand he's not part of the production meetings. I understand he's not allowed to go to practice, and you could say, well, the game is this. You're right. The tape is the same as watching. I get all that, but there is a lot of inside stuff that goes into prepping for the game. And whether or not he's there, I'm pretty sure he can ask the question. So what did he say? So what did this person say? What did that person say?
Well, and I realize he's that's part of the job. Meetings when they're talking about, hey, this is what the coach said. Let's put a package or a graphic together based on what this coach told us.
And he has to know that. He has to know that stuff. Even if he get it firsthand, he's still getting it, that information. And whether or not he's using it for, you know, the Raiders' benefit or just to do his job, I get it. But it is a conflict.
And it really looks bad for the NFL. Yeah. So at some point, he's going to have to choose. And Pete thinks he's one and done. He'll do the Super Bowl and then he's done. We'll see if it continues into year two. The good news for Fox is that Greg Olson is awesome and they can move him right back up. And he's already got the rapport with Kevin Burkhardt and it shouldn't be an issue. So I'm excited for them.
As long as Pete said, like if we're short I mean, if you wind up going too long, wouldn't shock me if Greg Olsen finds himself another job. So Fox has got to figure that out quickly while they still got the replacement in tow in Greg Olsen.
We'll take more of your calls, 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. An hour from now, your chance to ask Amy anything for the first time in 2025. So send your questions to either of our social media sites, including Facebook. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Orlando Cowboys reportedly denying permission for the Bears to meet with Mike McCarthy as Dallas still has exclusive rights to McCarthy through January 14th. We'll see if this means that he's going to stay in Dallas. Raiders took an extra day to make up their minds, but in the end, Antonio Pierce shown the door after just one full season in charge. Vegas moving on from Pierce with Tom Brady said to be part of the process to find a new head man in Vegas. Titans say goodbye to GM Rand Carthon, but they're keeping head coach Brian Callahan. Tennessee, of course, owns the top overall pick in the draft. Mike McDaniel spoke about his conversation with Tyreek Hill, who said he wanted out of Miami following the final game of the season, but McDaniel doesn't seem to think that this is a broken relationship.
Multiple things, including, you know, without wavering, that it's not acceptable to leave the game and won't be tolerated in the future, and he embraced accountability, and I wouldn't say there's anything necessarily to fix as much as we had to clear the air in a rough and tumultuous situation.
NBA wild ending in Utah.
Hawks don't have time. There's Trey. Midcourt fires. Bang! Trey Young just won the game. Trey Young just won the game, folks. Trey won from midcourt. He just stunned the silent crowd here in Utah. Trey Young from midcourt just knocked down a three, and the Hawks win.
Trey Young from past half court, part of a 24-point, 20-assist night. Hawks stunned the Jazz 124-121. Call courtesy Hawks Radio Network. Rest your scores. Celtics too much for the Nuggets, 118-106. Jason Tatum at 29. T-Wolves bounce the Pelicans, 104-97. Anthony Edwards with 32. Heat roll the Warriors, 114-98. Mavericks pound the Lakers, 118-97. Hornets erase the Suns, 115-104. And the Rockets overpower the Wizards, 135-112. College hoops, 8th-ranked Florida all over Tennessee, 73-43. Handed the top-ranked Vols their first loss of the season. Auburn handled Texas, 87-82. Iowa State all over Utah, 82-59. Duke smothered Pitt, 76-47. Georgia stunned Kentucky, 82-69. Marquette handled Georgetown, 74-66. I'm Marco Belletti.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
855-212-4227. We're talking a little bit about Tom Brady and his role as a minority owner, but Mark Davis wants to rely on him to help hire the next head coach of the Raiders. So as involved as Davis wants him to be, is there a conflict of interest there when he does his broadcasting job? And even if there isn't, is the appearance enough to cause the rest of the owners to say, wait a minute, I want my minority owner to be a broadcaster? Of course, your minority owner isn't one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever walk the planet Earth with all those rings. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Josh is listening in Richmond, Virginia. What do you think, Josh?
I think, again, Tom Brady is walking a very thin line, because when he's commentating the game, if you ever listen to him, one, he doesn't commentate pretty much any AFC game. They're pretty much all NFC games, because all the players that he played against were in the AFC, whether it was Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you know, he played against Patrick Mahomes. So he can't comment on them. He can't comment on the referees. He can't comment on, you know, other coaches, GMs, anything like that. But when he is commentating the game, what the other announcer says, like if a flag gets thrown, it'll be like, hey, there's a flag on the play. It may be holding or something. And he'll be like, yeah, we'll see. And then he always piggybacks on there. But he learned from Bill Belichick how to walk a thin line with doing it. But also, the other owners, like you said, they're going to have that meeting after the season's over. When they have their meeting, he's going to be one of those people they're going to talk to and be like, hey, we like what you're doing, commentating and stuff like that, but you're walking the rail, and we were like other people that we would want to be able to do things like that. So I don't know. We're going to see how it goes, but he's learned from Bill Belichick how to work the system and work the rules. And like you said, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. I would love, as a 49ers fan, for Joe Montana to go out there and say things with Steve Young. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You would want Ray Lewis to say things about, you know, the Ravens and how they should be. And, you know, with the Steelers, you would want a lot of their great legends in their Hall of Fame. You got the Packers. Every team would like to have people to be have an input and stuff like that. And he has gotten to that point where somebody has – he has broken through the door to be an owner and used to be a player and have that power to do it.
Yeah, so there definitely is some power there.
We're going to see how he uses it. That's always the biggest thing about power is how that person uses the position they're in. As long as he doesn't go overboard with it, we're going to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. You would think that he'd have the integrity to not use it. And the NFL has set up these guardrails so that he isn't having access to too much information directly. But I do think that just by being part of a broadcast crew, he's getting that intel by osmosis, even if he doesn't hear it first.
Yeah, and he's getting everything. And like you say, there's a gate right there. But he has learned that, you know what, I can be sitting right beside that gate. I don't really have to touch the gate, but I'm close enough that you can see me right there. You think I'm going to do something, but I'm really not going to hop it or jump it. I'm not, you know.
I hope that he
actually opens the door for other people to be able to do the same thing.
Mm. All right. I appreciate it. Josh, thanks so much for listening in Richmond. Happy New Year to you. Just to clarify, Tom Brady played most of his career in the AFC, but he also finished his career in the NFC. And he played against NFC teams every single year when he was a Patriot. And then obviously in the Super Bowls played against NFC teams. But also Fox generally has NFC game. Like, so the way the contracts are with CBS and ABC or CBS and Fox, excuse me, it's AFC, NFC a lot of the time, which he doesn't dictate. He's put on games that Fox has, and it's their number one game every week that he and Kevin Burkhardt call, but that is generally going to be an AFC game, generally going to be an NFC game and an NFC home team. Like, for instance, he did how many Dallas Cowboys games this year? So, yeah, there's that. All right, coming up, we'll get to more of your calls about Tom Brady. I do think it's interesting. I don't want to take a call now because I just have about a minute. I don't know. What do you think, Pete? Should I try one? Okay. So we'll wait until after the top of the hour because I don't want to have to cut you guys off. Also, the Dolphins weighing in on Tyreek Hill and his comments about how he's out, whatever that means, he's out. The questions that I've seen for Ask Amy Anything, some of them are really interesting. Some of them are asking me my prediction for the Super Bowl, which you're not getting. That's not happening. And then we've got a little bit of college football, too, to go along with some QB news as we head toward a full 5 days of playoff action between the college football bracket, the college football playoff, and the NFL wildcard weekend. So make sure you get your questions in at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page. By the way, Pete, I don't know what to do. We've run into a bit of an issue with Flower. She doesn't want to go in the crate anymore. So when I put her in the crate at night and then walk out the door, I can hear her whining and barking. This is after the rest of the house has been asleep for a couple hours. Oh, no. That crate may be not long for this world, like Tom Brady's broadcasting career. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.